was expecting a little, some specials or something. Didn't give me much time to get nervous, I guess. Let's pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all you've done. We ask you to help us tonight. Help us bring the thoughts you'd have us to bring. Help us with the nervousness. And just be with us. Help us be the help to young people and not hindrance. And thank you for all you've done. Amen. All right. Well, thankful to be here tonight with you guys, and thankful that Brother and Sister Strelucky had enough confidence in me to talk to you tonight. And I know there was a time, a long time ago, probably, not too many really had confidence in me, and for a good reason. I was wrapped up in so many things, you know, dancing, nightclubs, drugs, alcohol, just horrible mouth and bitterness. But I'm thankful that God, in his mercy, still would talk to me. And I remember one time I was just at a party, and just the Lord all of a sudden just sobered me up. I was drinking and having, you know, doing things I shouldn't be doing, and the Lord just sobered me up, and he said some words to me, and I'll never forget. And I'm just glad he always still talked to me, and I really appreciate that. And the night I got saved, it was definitely not in my plan to get saved. It was an August camp meeting, a Saturday night. Brother Dishman was there preaching, and you know how some of his sermons can be. They could put some fear in your heart. And I know, you know, some of his messages would scare me when I was out in sin, not living right. And but I ended up walking out after one of his messages, and two people stopped me and talked to me and about going down and get saved. But you know, my first reaction was no way. I had so much baggage. No way I was ready to get saved. But you know, we never will be ready. You know, it's when God's ready. Right. You know, we think we can take care of these things when we're out in sin. We can take care of them, but we can't. The only way we're going to take care of these things and get rid of them out of our lives is with God's help. And so many people try the opposite way. They try to get rid of them before they come to God, and it don't work that way. You got to let God help you. And I didn't really feel like God was talking to me at the time, but I just kind of brushed it off. It was like the devil had me on a leash. I know they're talking, the two people were talking to me for a while, and I didn't really feel like God was talking to me. Then after they were done talking to me, all of a sudden, God came in. God started talking to me, and I wasn't able to brush him off like I was these other two people, telling them, no, I'm not ready. But then God came and started talking to me, and it was almost like God talked to me, and he just... The devil had me on a leash, it felt like. And when God started talking to me, it's almost like he just reached down and just freed me from the devil, like just took the leash off. And I know, and after that, I ended up going down to the altar and getting saved. And I'm glad, so glad I chose freedom instead of the bondage of sin. But I know he's blessed me with more than I deserve. A wonderful wife who has been a great help to me spiritually and in every way. He's just been a great help to me. And God knew the wife I needed, and I'm thankful for that. And he blessed us with two wonderful, rotten kids, a good home, a job. But some of the choices I made in sin will forever scar me. And it's been the choices we make that will bring us either closer to God or separate us from God. And that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight, is the power of choice. And we all make choices every day, some small choices such as what we're going to wear and how we're going to do our hair and what we're going to eat, what we're going to do after work or school. I know for the women, what are we going to wear is maybe a little bit more of a big choice than for men. And what we're going to eat and what we're going to do after work or school. But big choices, you know, like buying a house or a car. I know three big choices I kind of was thinking in life are serving God is, of course, your number one. Marriage, number two. Then your career, I would put that right around three. Choice is an act of selecting or making a decision when faced with two or more possibilities. It is estimated that adults make 35,000 decisions every day. All the way back in the beginning of time, God gave us free will to make the choice, to make a choice, good or bad. And that's what the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil was, that God placed in the middle of the garden. It was for a choice to give us, for free will. And if you would, turn to Genesis 2:9 and talk about that tree. And out of the ground made the Lord God grow every tree that is pleasant to sight, the good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Without free will of choice, there is no love. What do I mean by that? So if I would have went up to Lindy and before we started dating and told her that we are going to start dating, and then in a year and a half, we're going to get married. And I didn't give her a choice about it. I'm like, you're going to do it, you know, but there's no choice. I don't think the love would be there. she'd probably go back to her mom and dad and be like, hey, this guy's, you know, pretty weird. He's coming up to me and telling me I don't have a choice. I got to date him and marry him. You know, the love, it wouldn't be there. But, you know, with dating, we got to first win them over and give them a choice whether or not, you know, they're going to date us or want to marry us and stuff. We're going to have to give them a choice or the love won't be there. Then she will, you know, sure went back to her mom. Then I would have had to deal with her and that wouldn't have been pleasant. But, you can ask Tom about that. But when we go about it the right way, like praying and being patient for a companion and talking to one that God has for you, giving them choice, liking you back, then you can grow that love for one another. We are in a battlefield of good and evil. Which one will you choose? Let's look at Cain, Genesis 4, 3 through 13. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel and his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not, Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive, a vagabond shalt thou be in the process, or be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. We see once again that jealousy and hate got into the hearts of some brothers. And, I lost my place. God gave Cain a chance, a choice to do better with his offering. But since God expected Abel's and not his choice, he chose jealousy to get the best of him, and he slew his brother. So because of Cain's evil acts, God punished Cain. And Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. So some of the choices we make in life, we got to look at the consequences we're going to have to deal with them choices, and some of them, it's going to be bigger than we can deal with, and we're going to need God to help us. Now let's take a look at someone in the Bible who chose to keep a good attitude, even when he was mistreated by his brothers. Genesis 37, 3 through 4. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. 18-24. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands and deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. We see once again jealousy and hate got the hearts of some brothers, and choosing and letting jealousy and hate get the best of you. And I don't know if, just don't let, I lost my place. Don't let jealousy get the best of you. If that bitterness will eat at you and make you miserable. Let's choose to be happy for our friends and family when things are going good for them. Like maybe they have the perfect boyfriend or girlfriend, or a car you wish you could have, or a house that has 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, the coolest parents. Maybe they, you know, go outside and play ball with them, and your parents don't. You know, don't get jealous. To be happy for them. Let's choose to be happy for our brothers and sisters instead of jealous. We will be a lot happier and get a lot further in life for it. We know that Joseph went through a lot, from being sold by his brothers to being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, then put into prison. And we know that later he rose from that and became second to the king. His right attitude and faith in God paid off. Let's talk a little bit about instant gratification, delayed gratification. Instant gratification is to forego a future benefit in order to obtain a less rewarding but more immediate benefit. Delayed gratification is an act of resisting impulse to take an immediate available reward in hope of obtaining a more valued reward in the future, and ability to delay gratification. The ability to delay gratification is essential to self-control. Someone in the Bible who sticks out to me that chose instant gratification is Esau. Genesis 25, 30-34. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at a point to die, and what profit shall his birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he sware unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Esau was hungry, but I'm sure his life was probably not in danger. He could have probably got food somewhere else if he really tried. He placed more value on satisfying his hunger than on the blessings and covenants of his birthright. A birthright is a particular right of possession or privilege one has from birth, especially as an oldest child. And he gave that up for some bread and pottage. I want to ask you, what are we giving Jesus up for? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Bitterness? Selfishness? Judas is another one who chose instant gratification with betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, which he found out really quick that it didn't satisfy him. And he couldn't live with the guilt of betraying Jesus. We need to make sure, young people, that we don't do something that will be hard to live with. When you're involved with drugs, alcohol, there's no telling what could happen. And we need to watch our mouth. Words cut deep. We need to think before we speak, not after. There is no deleting or editing after it comes out. Yes, we can apologize, but you know, the hurt's already there, and they know what you said to them, and apologizing sometimes just don't cut it. Someone in the Bible came to my mind that chose delayed gratification is Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord chose him to build an ark to save animals and mankind. We don't know for sure how long it took him to build the ark, but I don't know, I'm guessing probably, I mean, I think a lot of people think around 100 years, but I would say, you know, yeah, probably around 100 years. But try to put yourself in his shoes. Building years for something that had never happened on earth before. No one had ever seen rain. No doubt there was people coming by, making fun of him and his family. Probably not too many people offered to help. Probably a lot of people thought he was crazy. Like building something for, you know, they probably didn't know what rain was. He's probably telling them, and they probably thought he was crazy. In these days, maybe he would have been called a conspiracy theorist or something. But Noah trusted God and did what God wanted him to do. And all that hard work paid off abundantly. He was able to save him and his family and every kind of animal. Delayed gratification not only produces a reward, but it also develops godly character. And it requires one of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. delayed gratification requires long suffering or patience. I like investing. Investing, it requires patience. Most of the time, I don't invest in something expecting it to double, triple overnight. But it's the long haul that brings us the rewards we seek. So it is with Jesus. People expect God to take away all their problems overnight. But a lot of times, God wants to see how serious we are and what kind of choice we'll make when we hit with a temptation or an obstacle in the way. Just know when you get saved, your past will be there to stare you in the eyes, to see how serious you are and face you with a choice of going forward or to give up. The decision we make when we are alone define who we really are. It's a lot easier to make good decisions when eyes are on us. But what choices are we making behind closed doors?
Right.
Are you doing things you would want your parents to know about? I found out that it feels so much better being an open book than trying to hide the bad choices you're making. It's better to go to your parents and God and talk about the things you struggle with. It will be a lot easier to get victory over it. If we admit we have a problem when we hide things, it usually turns into much bigger problems if we're trying to hide them than if we would just get help, nip it in the bud. Also, the choices we make not only affect us, but it can affect the ones around us, especially ones ones close to us. So before we make a choice, let's try to look into the future and see how it would not only affect you, but our brother and sister too. Here's a little list on some choices we as Christians should make. So, let's choose love over hate, happiness over sadness, humbleness over pride, long-suffering over impatience, peace over conflict, praise over criticism, forgiveness over resentment, and choose Jesus over anything. In closing, turn to Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's the best choice we can make, is to serve the Lord. And I hope to see every one of you here in the years to come. And I love and appreciate you all, and I hope you all can choose to serve the Lord for the rest of your life. I know it's the best life. And don't let anyone else tell you different, because it is. And there's a lot less regret, too, and a lot more satisfaction. Jesus gets sweeter, and sin just tears you down and tears you down over time.
Very good thoughts, Brother Jared brought tonight. And I thought, you know, when we were faced with these decisions, we need to ask help, you know, from God, our youth leaders, pastors, parents. And somebody said something one time, and I don't think I'm remembering it exactly the way they said it, but it said, if there's like four lights, three are green and one is red, don't go. You know, that one red light could be your last warning. So, you know, look for little warning signs that could give you a warning that there is a bad or fatal decision up ahead. Even though the majority of the lights seem to be green, that one red light could save your life. So